Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. Welcome to episode 78 of the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. I will call this the Christmas episode. We did one last year where I actually recorded when we went home for Christmas to Rose Hill, to that area. I don't know that I'll get that in this time, but didn't want to go ahead and do a show. I'm not running today, but had some things just wanted to update you on, share with you some interesting things happening in my life. And as we draw the year to a close, I think I'll go ahead and share with you what some of my hopes are for 2011. Those hopes are not, I would not call those hopes resolutions, but I just want to share with you toward the end of this particular program what I hope to accomplish relative to the running and fitness in the year 2011. but it's been a good week since I've talked to you last. Haven't done a lot of running since the last time I talked with you. I did run on Saturday, 3 miles. That was since the half marathon. And from the half marathon until now, I have not run very much. And I think I have purposefully decided to just take, it'll amount to about 10 days off with one run in the middle. That gives me good rest from the half marathon, and I'm starting to think maybe toward the end of the year, those last couple of weeks might be a time where I just take a break from the running, generally speaking, and cut back purposefully. Now, through the year, there are times whenever I'm not running as much as other times, depending on if there's a race or depending on if there are other things going on, but I purposefully decided to go ahead and take a few more days off. I do hope to get up and run again in the morning. And that would give me about 10 days from the half with one run, and then we'll get back into it. Those times are good to have in your running life because your body needs to recover, recuperate, and I have heard of professional athletes, professional runners who do purposefully take off a couple of weeks every year where they don't do any running. Very little, if any, but some of them don't do any at all. It just gives their body a time to rest, recover. They may do some cross training, things like that, but in my case, I've not done anything other than run, and that again, that was a few days ago, and we're going to run again tomorrow, but with the exception of the one run in the 10 days or so, we're just giving our body a break. The weather here is quite cold. We're down to 23 again tonight. We've been down in the mid-teens several times. It did warm up yesterday. It hit 58, but the high today is 41. It's windy. This weekend, today is, let me tell you what day it is. It's Thursday, the 23rd of December, 2010. And they are calling for snow here late in the day on Christmas and then the day after, which would be Saturday and then into Sunday. Depending on how the weather tracks, we may get more snow here than they do on the coast, but more than likely, this will be a coastal type situation where the eastern part, southeastern part, where I'm from originally, is going to get more snow than we do here. Cindy and I are planning to go home for Christmas. Our plans are to leave here on Christmas morning, be there for supper that night at my brother Sammy's house with all of my family there, and then come back sometime during the day Sunday. Well, right now they're calling for 6 to 10 inches of snow in the area we're heading to, less here. So getting down won't be a problem, but if it snows that much in that area, they're even less equipped to handle it than we are here. I just got in and I noticed that the roads have already had the brine put down on them for the upcoming expectation of the snow and ice, probably snow. And even though that's 2 to 3 days away, that brine is already out on the major thoroughfares as far as I can see, and that definitely helps to deal with that snow. Well, when this happens, the snow comes, they will plow the streets if they need to be, things like that. We do that quite a bit here because we do get snow on and off throughout the winter. We can get some winters we won't get any, and other winters we may have a couple of times where we'll get 6 or 8 inches. Occasionally we'll get more than that. So we are not unused to snow, but we're not used to big snows regularly, but we do get a pretty good snow once in a while. Back in the late 90s, I remember we had 17 inches when Cindy and I lived in Randolph County, which is very near here. And that's the biggest snow I can remember just about, except when I was in school in Kentucky in seminary, and I remember we had big snows there. So our plans are to go home Saturday, come back on Sunday, and get back into the office on Tuesday. Monday will be a day off. We do have a Christmas Eve service here at our church at 6 o'clock on Friday evening. It'll last about 45 minutes to an hour. We are going to be observing communion and doing a candle lighting service as well, which we do every year. And we usually have 900 to 1,000 people to come out for that service, which is pretty amazing to me it being on Christmas Eve, but people are looking for things to do, I guess, on those special days like that, so we're going to be taking part in that. Cindy's parents were going to go home with us, but they finally both went to the doctor yesterday, actually went to urgent care. They have upper respiratory infections, and because of that, they're not going to be making a trip down, Whether Cindy and I get there or not, I'm not sure. We're watching the weather very closely. And again, in this area, if we get 2 or 3 inches, that is not a problem. But if they get 6 or 8 or 10 inches where we're heading, they are even less equipped to handle that, as I stated. So, don't know. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Christmas is on Saturday, so we'll just have to see how all that goes. But I have not been sick. Last year, I had a period where I had the, I don't know if it was an upper respiratory infection, but I did have a period where I clearly had a head cold pretty bad, but that lasted for 10 days, 2 weeks. I couldn't shake it hardly, but I did get over it. I think that's what they're dealing with. Knock on wood, I have not had that yet, but I am being careful to make sure that that doesn't happen, although certainly it could. If you have somebody sick in your house, you know how that goes. It goes from one to the other. I did want to share with you that I have ordered some shoes from Dick's Sporting Goods, the Lance Armstrong Pegasus 27 Pluses. They have a little different color scheme. They're actually pretty cool looking. I have some 769s that I bought a couple months ago that have been in the closet in the box waiting to use because my, as you know, if you listen to this program very much, you know the 768s now have probably 425 miles or so. With the Chi running, I am planning to get 500 miles on those if I can, but we'll just have to see how that goes. So as soon as those are out, then I can replace them with the 769s, which I have another pair I'm working on that have about 200 miles. And the next greatest mileage on shoes are my Pegasus shoes, and they are, I think I've hit 400, I know I have. So when those are out, I will have another pair in the box in the closet. The Lance Armstrong ones, they probably will arrive by UPS today. I was going to tell you, if you're not a member of Dick's Sporting Goods, you might want to consider that. I was able to get $99 shoes for $75, and the tax, which they now charge on the internet in North Carolina, I hate that, but we have to pay tax on anything we buy on the internet. So that made it around $80, so I got those $20 than they typically would be, which is not a bad deal. So we'll add those into the mix. So we'll add those into the mix whenever they the time comes. But everything else is going pretty good. I feel rested from the half. I've been doing some gentle stretching, doing my core exercises, and want to continue to do that and just rest up from what was a very good race effort. As I look back on the race, there is another observation that I would like to share with you. As I look back, I noticed that the first mile was 9:04, and at 9:04, that's pretty slow for me. I mean, that's slow for the average pace nowadays for most of the regular running that I do. But I hit 9:04 for the first mile, and then from there, I think I had 2 miles where I had 8 minutes flat. Everything else was under 8 minutes. A couple of 7:26s, or I hit 7:26. I had a couple 7:38s, something like that. What it tells me, if I could have run the first mile 1 minute faster in 8:04, I would have broken my PR by about 15 seconds. So last episode when I was talking about the weather and not feeling well and all that leading up to the race, not feeling well, I felt good that day, as I stated, and thought maybe those things had an impact, but I really think that I started back too far in the pack. And looking at the photographs that Burt Reed has given me, and you can go online. I've got a few of those posted with the race photos there at the blog, which I'll give you information about the blog a little bit later. Why don't I go ahead and do that now? You can find the blog for this podcast and the show notes, the post for this episode, and listen to any other episodes. Check out photographs from races. Check out photographs from other listeners. Take a survey that I put out every couple of months. You can check out all the links that I have there. You can see what mileage I've been doing by going to the right-hand side where we have the Buckeye link. All of that can be found at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. And you can go there and you can find information about what's been going on with me relative to the running and things like that. So I would encourage you to do that, but you can look at the photos from the race, that type of thing. But in that episode, which you could go back and listen to at episode 77, the one where we covered the half, I realized, and as you look at the pictures, I started too far back in the pack. Now, I don't know if the pictures that I posted have any of that as far as where I was, but some of those pictures Bert gave me did include me in the group. I was probably halfway back, at least. I'm beginning to realize that I need to start not at the front, but I probably need to start nearer the front so that I don't get log jammed. Because there's a narrow area you go through, there's a tunnel we went through, and it was pretty tight. And you didn't have room to maneuver, I didn't have room to get out around anybody much for a good while. By the time things thinned out, we'd hit mile one at 9:04, and I realized at that point, man, I'm going way slower than I had trained for. So I think that if I had started closer to the front, I really believe I would have hit a PR. But that's the way it goes. You can't do anything about it. So be that as it may, that's just the way things are. But I did want to share that with you, that hopefully the next half we run, I will keep that in mind to be up closer near the front. If the training goes as well as it did for this one, then certainly that would not be an issue. So I'm looking forward to working on that. But I did want to share that with you as well as think back on the training for the half. Would I have done anything different as I trained for the half? Well, as I look back on it, I think there's a possibility that I would have begun doing the hill work instead of doing it at the end of the long run. Maybe do some speed work toward the end or speed up at the end of the long runs and save the hill work for a shorter run. I felt like, though, that if I could hit the hills hard at the end of a long run, that would help me, and obviously it did, but I don't know that that's the best thing to do, because I didn't run as fast as I could toward the end of some of the long runs. And I've been reading recently about it's good to have runs of length where you do speed up toward the end. Maybe you run the half marathon pace for the last 3 miles, something like that. So we may mix that up. I'm always trying to adjust the training to see what I get the better benefit out of. And again, if I had started nearer to the front, I believe there's a good chance that I could easily have made up the 42 seconds that I missed from hitting my PR. So we'll see how that goes. What do you want for Christmas? I know what I want. I wanted a Nook from Barnes & Noble, but I don't think the budget's going to stand for that this year. We are going to add a 10-gallon tank to our collection of aquariums. I've got a 30-gallon, I've got a 1.5-gallon with a beta in it, no filtration, and then I've got a 2.25-gallon with one goldfish in it that does have a filter. I think we're going to take the goldfish, put him in the 10-gallon tank, even though that's not big enough. A goldfish can get very, very large. But we're going to move him to that. He will survive, but if you put a goldfish in a smaller tank than he really needs, he'll live. He may live for a good while, but his lifespan will be shorter than it would be if he were in a larger place. So we are planning to get a 10-gallon tank for Christmas. Over at PetSmart, they had a 10-gallon tank with a hood and a nice filter, the same brand that I use on the 30-gallon tank. They had it for $20, regular $35. That's a great price. And then I bought some small fluorescent bulbs to put in. The hood is only for incandescent, but I found some small bulbs at Walmart to put in, and I think it'll be a nice tank. Not sure what we'll add to that. But that's one thing we're going to get for Christmas, which is not a big deal. But we don't spend a tremendous amount on Christmas. We don't get large gifts typically, but it's a good time, and we really, really enjoy it, and I hope you do too. Did want to tell you about a friend of mine who has an outdoor pond. He moved from Virginia and then built a pond here in the Piedmont. He has koi, he has goldfish. Some of them are 1.5 feet long. And he also had 2 Placostomus that he kept in this outdoor pond. He's fixed it up with a waterfall, brickwork, and all that. I've seen pictures, but I haven't been by the house, but I believe that I will get by there to see it because I'm very interested in outdoor ponds, particularly for koi and or goldfish. And he told me that last year he pulled the Placostomus, 2 of them that he had. He pulled them out and kept them inside somehow or other to keep them warm. And this year he didn't get them out. And so recently they died. And he discovered that these Placostomus, one of them was close to 19 inches. The other one was 19 inches long. A Placostomus is an algae eater with a sucker mouth, a tooth that cleans algae off of surfaces. And I had one in my aquarium, I think I mentioned it an episode or two ago. And whenever I did the partial water change, which I do once a week, I must have inadvertently pulled him out and dumped him down my utility sink drain, because I have pulled out a couple of the bigger ornamentations we have in there, or ornaments we have in that tank, and he was not in there. I was afraid he had gotten underneath something or in something and couldn't get out, but I think I sent him to fishy heaven. So I went back to PetSmart, was inquiring about a Plycostomus. There's a guy there who is exceptionally knowledgeable about fish. He told me he hoped to have his own store within a couple of years. And he told me that a Plycostomus can get so large that even a 30-gallon tank, really, you don't want to keep him in there forever because he'll keep growing. And I knew they would keep growing, but I didn't know he'd get quite that big. But my friend who had the two that were lost, that died, I know that for him, they did get close to 19 inches. One of them was 19 inches. But he told me about a rubber-lipped Plycostomus, which I think I'm going to get. He said they would get a truck in today at 9, and by 1 or 1:30, he's got all the fish out. And so I'm going to go pick one of those up. He said they look a little different. They are algae eaters. They're mainly nocturnal, which those type of fish are. But he said they only get 6 inches long. They do well in all types of water conditions. And so I think we're going to do that. But the fish overall are healthy, and they look good. I've got one-eyed platy, an orange one, a bar tailed. It's got two bars, one on the top and bottom of the tail, that had a bacterial infection weeks ago. I treated him, he got better, but he lost one eye, so I've got a one-eyed fish. But other than that, there's no bacteria or anything like that in the tank that I can see. But if you're in aquariums, I would be interested in hearing what your experiences are with that as well, as far as your aquarium work, your aquarium hobby, and let me know any tips or hints that you may have about that. So I think we're going to pick one of those up this evening, take him home, and he'll be a part of our Christmas, I guess. But they're not very expensive. I think they're $3 or $4. So we're going to plan to do that. But what do you want for Christmas? I'm going to play a song right now that I have heard and you have too. My favorite version is one that's done by a singer called Brian Duncan, who's actually here from High Point. But he is well known in contemporary Christian circles, not so much anymore, but in his heyday, he did a version of that song, which is absolutely beautiful. So I think I'm going to take a break here and put that on, and then when I come back, I want to share some ideas about what I'm going to be doing for Christmas. And then I want to close the program out on a little more, not somber, but a little more serious note about what Christmas really is all about, which I know you know about, but we'll close the program with that. But again, thanks for listening. We'll be back after a break here. You're listening to episode 78 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast.
Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now and still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list. Not for myself, but for a world in need. No more lives torn apart. That wars would never start. In time would heal our hearts. And everyone would have a friend. To see was something lovely wrapped beneath our tree. Well, heaven surely knows that packages and bows can never heal a hurting human soul. No more lives torn apart that wars were never stirred, and time would heal our hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. What is this illusion called the innocence of you? Maybe only in a blind belief can we ever find the truth. No more lies torn apart would never start, and time would heal our hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas wish. This is my only Christmas wish. This is my grown-up Christmas list.
I don't know if you believe in New Year's resolutions. I personally do not, even though my fortune cookie at the Chinese restaurant recently said, you will do well in a new endeavor. And I've got a couple of new endeavors in mind, depending on how things work out, educationally, things like that, which I've shared in other episodes. But I do have some resolutions relative to my running, relative to my health in general. And again, as I said earlier, they're not resolutions, I guess, but they're more what I would like to see done, or what I plan to do, Lord willing. One of those is I would like to spend more time on the cross-training, particularly on the stationary bike that I have in my house. It's a nice Schwinn bike that we bought 4 or 5 years ago. It's a recumbent, but it has the bells and whistles as far as the programs where you can set the time, you can set different types of programs where you go uphills, downhills. It's a magnetic wheel on it, so the resistance is automatic. And I really want to get in and ride that thing fairly good a couple times a week if I can. I do want to also continue to run 3 days a week, not going to move that up to four. And right now I'm thinking, as I've done in the past, I would like to do maybe a 7-miler, an 8-miler, and then maybe a 10-miler, follow that by 7, 8, and 11 the next week, 7, 8, and 12 the third week, and then cut back to 7, 8, and maybe 8 the fourth week to rest from that, unless I'm training for a race. So for me, I'd like to do the bike, and I'd like to continue the 3-day-a-week running with a 25-mile minimum, and then working up to 27, 28 on the highest week, unless I'm training for a race again. Also, I'm hoping to do more work on core work. If you go back and look at the episodes I did on Qi running, I did share some of the core exercises that Danny Dreyer shared, and I would like to work on those and continue to do the core work. I'm really not doing many of the ones that he recommends there just for time and getting that into my routine, but I probably could or should. And so I'd like to work more on core. Right now, what I basically do is I will do 75 butterfly sit-ups, and then on the alternate day, I will do 75 crunches. And then I do 30 to 35 push-ups. Now, that's great. That helps. But I need to do more than that. If you remember, Qi running is all about your core. When you're running, you want to run flat-footed. You want to run on the midfoot. You want to have high turnover as far as the number of steps you take per minute. You also want to lean forward and let gravity pull you so that you are properly aligned from your angle, from your ankles to the top of your head. It's more or less a straight line leaning. And then when you go up hills, you want to let your arms do the work, pump them like pistons, and you want to relax your body the entire time. Now for me, that means consciously relaxing my ankles and my feet, letting my toes almost drop as I pick up my foot and put it down again, so that I'm never in danger of landing flat, or excuse me, landing on my heels. That also ensures that you are keeping your feet underneath you. You never want your feet to go out in front of you, but you want them to be beneath you or just behind you. And for me, that has really made all the difference in the world, the chi running. And you can go back to episodes from this past fall where I did several, I think it was 5, on chi running. There are videos there. There is audio explaining the concept in the last episode of that series. You might want to go back and check that out. So I want to continue with the chi running as well. My first race, the half marathon, using the chi method was very effective. I felt confident. I did not have the soreness afterwards. Now, granted, a couple days after, I did have soreness in my hamstrings mainly, but that soon went away, and it was just from a hard effort, which I want to do. I want to give it my all. But I do want to continue with the chi running. Flat-footed, quick turnover, feet under or behind you, forward lean, not from the waist, but from the ankles, pumping your arms when you go up hills, when you go down hills, relaxing your body totally. You also do more of a moving your hip than your feet whenever you run with this method, waddling as it were, and going downhill you want to be totally relaxed and exaggerate the waddle and let your feet just flow underneath you, but not pumping your arms if you're going downhill. Those are some of the basic concepts of chi running, and again, I would refer you to Danny Dreyer's book, Chi Running, which you can find in any bookstore or online. It's a great resource. Or echifitness.com is a great resource. David at that website. And also, just go to the web and look up Chi Running, C-H-I Running. I do have a couple of people I know that are practicing it, that listen to this program, and they've shared with me, and it's working very well for them. And so I want to encourage them to continue on. I think Craig might be one of those who's working with the Chi method, and he recently shared with me some information on Facebook about how things are going with him. Craig had some very kind comments about the show and about his plans to run a marathon coming up here fairly soon, and he also is hoping to qualify for Boston. So Craig, we certainly wish you the best. Appreciate you being one of my connections on Facebook, and certainly enjoy keeping up with what's going on with your running. Incidentally, when you go to the blog, you can go to my Facebook page and sign up, or Twitter, and or Twitter. On Facebook, 20 Minute Runner or The 20 Minute Runner, you should be able to find me, request me as your friend. I'd be glad to include you, and I'd be glad to be your friend as well. And relative to that, it's just a great way to keep up with what's going on. Now, on Twitter, I go on there occasionally, but not very often, but probably need to do more of that. So, Craig, thanks for your kind comments, and I hope it goes well with you and your upcoming marathon. And you also made a comment about the chi running, how that it encourages you to continue with that, to at least try to work with that, and I hope that works out for you. I know there's been issues relative to trying to get that down. Stick with it, as I said, and I think that eventually it will bring you some good results. Some other things relative to me that I'd like to accomplish in this coming year of 2011, I do want to hopefully run a PR in the half. If I can find a half that I could train for, without it conflicting with other races, that type of thing. The half that I would run would be in the fall, but the only problem is the North Carolina Marathon is also in the fall. And at this point, depending on what happens with me, I do want to run my second marathon. I think on a good day that I could break 4 hours. I think on a great day, I could break 3:50. So I do want to run a half and another full during the year, and definitely break 4 hours for the marathon, hopefully, and I think that certainly is possible. So those are the goals that I have for 2011. Get on the bike more, do more core work as far as different exercises, do a better job than I'm doing, do a half, try to PR in it, and try to run 4 hours for a marathon. I don't have any mileage goals as far as wanting to average so many a week other than what I said earlier. I'd like to average 25, but beyond that, I don't really have a whole lot that I would want to add. But if I can get all those things going and successfully complete all or most of those, then I'll be in great shape. So, what are you planning for the new year? What are your goals? I'd love to hear from you. If you would email me that at 20minuterunner@gmail.com, you can go to the blog and find the link there to email me. Email me your goals, what you hope to accomplish in 2011. Or when you send the email, why not attach a WAV or an MP3 file to that, speaking in person, as it were, what your goals are. I'd be glad to share that on an upcoming episode, whether it would be just via sharing your email or actually playing the audio that you submit. So tell me, tell all the listeners of this podcast what you hope to accomplish in 2011, mainly related to your running program, but if there are other goals you've got, I certainly would be willing to share those as well, and I would be personally interested in hearing those as well. But I think what we'll do right now to close out this particular episode, and I know this one might be just a bit shorter, but that's okay, I would like to end by sharing the Christmas story from the New Living Translation. And if you are a believer, I know you'll appreciate it. And if you're not, I hope you'll tolerate me. But this is what the season's about. And I did want to close the show with that and just hope that you have a wonderful Christmas. You might be hearing this before Christmas. You may be hearing it after Christmas. I don't know. You might be listening to it on Christmas, although I doubt it. So I'd like to do that. And just wish you a blessed and wonderful new year, not just with your running, although I hope that's the best running year you've ever had, but I hope it's the best year you've ever had in your life. I hope things go better than you're hoping economically, with health, with family, with relationships, with work, with all of those things. I just pray that God would bless you and you have a great year. And let me close, too, by saying how much I appreciate you listening to the podcast through this year. It's been a great experience, once again, to put it out. And if I didn't hear back from you, then I probably wouldn't do it. But I do know that many, many of you are listening, and you seem to find encouragement and help from it. And if we accomplish that goal, then I am very, very satisfied. So, again, I hope you have a great 2011. Let me hear from you. Go to the blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com or email me at 20minuterunner@gmail.com. Let me know what your goals are for 2011 related to running or other things as well, and we'll look to share those with you. We probably will get one more episode out before the end of the year. It'll be right at it, but this is kind of my Christmas end of the year wrap up, and we're looking forward to hopefully getting shows out regularly once again in 2011. So, thanks for listening, and as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Merry Christmas. Have a blessed new year. I hope to hear from you, and I'll look to talk to you again very soon. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son. She wrapped him in snugly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.